Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another amazing show right here on the I Am Me Radio Network. And it is yours truly, Kimberly Arrington, also known as Inspirational Beauty. Tonight, we have a wonderful show for you, and I believe, really, we always have a wonderful show for you. But we want you all to let everybody know that we're on. And how do you do that? You let them know to dial into 845-241-9898 or listen by going to blogtalkradio.com/IAmMeRadio. Now, tonight's show, we're going to be talking about politics, everybody, and are Black women the new face of politics? I sure hope so. I think we need a facelift, y'all. So get ready as I prepare for me and my crew to make it do what it do right here on Simply I Am Me Radio. And we'll be back with my crew in just a minute, y'all. Get ready. Excited because tonight we want to take you higher than you've ever been right here on Simply IV. Welcome, 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 everybody. In a moment, I'm going to bring my cast and crew out, and if you all have followed us for any length of time, you know that we have a wonderful cast and crew, and so tonight is not going to be any different. We're going to hear from them and see what they think about tonight's topic. So we're going to let them chime in. What do you all think about that? Y'all think that's pretty cool? All right. So what we're going to do, without further ado, we're going to see who's coming out right now. Who's coming on out? Who's coming on out, y'all? Let's see if we can go ahead and bring out Mr. Jeffrey Coleman. Come on out. Simply IV. Come on now, sir.
Hey.
Hey,
about to do my turn and dip. Let's do it. Can I do my turn and dip right quick? Hold up.
Here we go, everybody.
Boom. Yeah. Right turn. Oh, there it is.
Right turn, everybody. We have Mr. Jeffrey Coleman on, also known as Ben's Document. Last week, when he came on last week's show, you know, we were all sitting on the sofa. We got comfortable. We took the shoes off, and I believe my brother got a cold because he took his socks off. I got a little bit of that cold.
Girl,
How you doing this week?
I'm recovering from that some symptoms, but a little, you know, I'm feeling much better now. Much better.
Amen. Well, it's good to have you here. I think we have some cheers for you. There you go. It's so good.
Oh, hey.
Well, Jeffrey, as you know, tonight we're going to be discussing what I believe is a very important topic tonight. You know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been dispelling a couple of myths in the Black community. And I believe that's very important because, like you said, and the rest of our cast and crew said last week, the power being taken from us is because we have not been able to control our own narrative. Do you still think that's something that is being put out there?
Yeah, I really do. The narrative in which we're being fed is not. And so one of the things that this is really a powerful subject to go into to talk about tonight about politics and understanding how we as African Americans play a role in the politics and how there's so many influential, especially women in politics, that we just need to continue to unveil the truth. And I'm so glad on this platform we take the time to do that, to get rid of the lies, get rid of the myths, get rid of the deception, and actually bring forth the line of truth. So I look forward to the dialogue that's going to take place today and understanding how we continue to unveil and unravel these myths that has been put out there and being perpetuated in our community.
Mm-hmm. Y'all heard it. You know, I think it's very important that we do continue to do that because, you know, once again, those who control their own story really do have the power, right? And so that's
correct.
One thing that keeps me going. I know that's what keeps you going and probably the rest of our cast and crew. If you are out there right now, everybody, let everybody know on social media that we are on. We were trying to go on Facebook Live tonight, but I'm just really not appropriate tonight, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you see I got all my house shoes, right? I'm not quite ready, everybody. But please let everybody know
ones?
That we're on. I got the pink ones on. I got the bunny rabbits on, everybody. Let everybody know to dial in to 845-241-9898, or they can listen by going to blogtalkradio.com/IMEradio. Now, tonight we're talking about, you know, are black women the new face of politics? And one lady in particular we really want to spend some time talking about is someone right now that has it going on in the state in which I live, and that's Georgia. Now, y'all don't know that is the Bible Belt. And how can the Bible Belt be so racist? But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. We have Ms. Stacey Abrams, BizDoc, Georgia's first black woman to be nominated for governor. Powerful. Ms. Stacey Abrams, We want to go ahead and give you a hand clap. Let's talk about it really quickly before we bring on our casting crew as to why it's so important for women of color to be not just in politics, but to be in a governor's seat. I really want to break that down for those of you who are not really sure what a governor does and why that is so important and why that's making history. Why do we want to sit in that position, Jeffrey?
Well, the reason why is because it is a place where you can control not only the local Congress, but it's also a place where you can control the politics. You also set the tone for the state. And so when you look to the governorship or being able to that office is what gives out the help and support was needed in the community. Mm-hmm. It also set the budget. It also set the spending pattern for what. So that governorship is really key. I mean, it's like a if you look at the United States, you know, the presidency is there, the governorships, and those governorships are controlling that particular state. So they're like the presidency of that state with the governorship.
Mm.
And so for Georgia to be having the potential of having its first African-American governor and a female at that is historical.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's historical for so many reasons. Let's go ahead and let me share really quickly, you know, for those of you, Jeffrey told us it's like being the president of your own state. That's very powerful. We've never had that before. So that is historical. That is historical. Now, we have had the president of the United States, but understand he was blocked on so many things because we didn't hold these other positions. Amen. So it's very important that that we sit in key positions throughout the nation. Okay, can you hear me okay, Mr. Jeffrey Coleman? Check one, check two.
Yes, I can. Yep, I can hear you.
All right, want to make sure. So, guys, let me share with everyone what the governor actually does as well. The governor heads the government's executive branch in each state, like Jeffrey Coleman said, or territory. and depending on the individual jurisdiction, may have considerable control. Come on, I like that. Considerable control. You like that? You like that, Jeffrey? They will have considerable control.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Over government budgeting, the power of appointment of many officials, including many judges. Woo! Many judges and considerable role in legislation. Jeffrey, you know, we've been seeing a lot, everybody. And Jeffrey, you know this very well because we work on some efforts outside of this platform when it deals with police brutality and economics and all of those things. When we feel like we're stuck, it's because we don't have judges in place. We don't have certain officials in place. So if we get this seat with this black woman, this Democrat, not saying that she's going to cure all the ills of the world, but that's really going to help with these appointments. Would you agree?
Yes, it will. It definitely will help with that direction and to get into the position and use that position for power and for purpose.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, y'all heard it here. In a few minutes, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and bring on some other cast and crew, y'all. Get ready, because we're going to talk more and get more into detail about the face changing, hopefully, and the paradigm shifting in a favor, not just for African Americans, but for all of America. I believe, this is what I believe, and you tell me what you think on this, Jeffrey. I really believe you cannot solve the ills of American society until you take care of the black folk here who built it. Can I get an amen on that?
I get you.
We are.
Amen on that. Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely, definitely. That is something so key, so key.
So key, so key. So what we're going to do, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to bring in Miss LT, but for right now, let's see if we can
do
be
you
great.
Wanna be great?
In just a second, y'all.
Do you wanna be
great?
Do you wanna be
great?
Do you wanna be great? Do you wanna be
great?
Do you wanna be
great?
It's time to shift the culture, move with focus. Rise above and lose a vulture. It's hard to fly when nose is close to you. Keep pulling it down. Yeah, off my chest, no more excuses. Scared to death, but I can't lose grip. I'm scared to jump, I'm scared to fail. I'm scared of you, I'm scared of myself. But what is life? I can't be. And pray, God say, well done, well done, cause I'm gonna be great,
cause I'm gonna be great, woo! I know this is LT, one of her favorite songs. We wanna be great. And so tonight, I think that because of everything that's going on in America, we get lost in thinking that we don't have a voice, but we have voices that are coming up, everyone. We have voices that are coming up. Mr. Jeffrey Coleman, you want to be great, sir?
Nah.
I don't want to be
great.
Not at
all.
I don't want to be great.
No.
Not at all.
Nope, nope, no. That's another story on that one, though.
That's another story. Let's go ahead and see if we have some other people that may want to join us. Let's come out. Yeah. Somebody's coming on out. Who can we get to come on out with us? I believe we have Miss LT, Miss LaWanda Tillett, Fierce Beauty. Come on out. It's simply I
did. Did you put my whole government name out there? My whole government?
Welcome to Simply ID, young lady. Your whole government. How are you?
My whole government. I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys last Wednesday. So happy Wednesday to everyone. Hey, Jeffrey.
Yes, yes.
And then he don't want to talk to me no more. It's okay.
Yes,
just because you don't want to be great. I'm not talking to you
because you weren't here last week, so I can't talk to you until next week.
Everybody,
I still love you.
Okay.
You guys, we had a good time last week, and somebody left popcorn in the sofa. Don't worry about it. I ate it. Everybody, it's all good. I took it. Okay. But anyway. If you listen to us right now, guys, we have Mr. Jeffrey Coleman, also known as Biz Doc, and we have Ms. LT, also known as Fierce Beauty, who does What's the Buzz, and, of course, yours truly, Inspirational Beauty. Now, you hear what's going on, Ms. LT. You know that we are talking about women of color or black women being the face of politics, and we have already accepted the nominee of Ms. Stacey Abrams here in Georgia. How do you feel about that?
I'm very excited about it. I'm excited about it for a couple of reasons. One, as a woman, I'm really excited to see the face and more women getting involved in politics with their integrity intact. Let me just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the level of being African American, I'm really excited about that because I think we don't have enough faces. We have some of the old heads, and there's nothing wrong with them. Please don't hear me saying that. But we have to have a connector. We have to where the new African-Americans have an ability to still sit with the old heads and be able to spend time with
them
and garner good information and wisdom from them so that they know how to work that game and how to work that system. And it needs to happen while there's still some vitality left to our old heads. So that transition of power is kind of like a relay, more or less, than just like, well, we need to fill the gap.
Right.
So
you know
I'm
what?
Excited
wow.
on those levels. And I'm really excited for Stacey. Maxine Waters doesn't need to hold it down by herself. Senator Louise Lucas here in Virginia doesn't need to hold it down by herself.
That's right.
You know, there's
That's
a
right.
lot of women who are very talented, very, very strong-minded, very opinionated, very intelligent, who can sit with the best of them, and their integrity is intact. And that seems to be the biggest factor in all of the races is about integrity because it's been compromised on so many levels that we see in the White House and the administration currently from the head down, and I'm not afraid to say it, and it's just really unfortunate.
Right. That's right.
You know, on like a quick side note, but still along this same vein, it's really unfortunate that we have a TV show being canceled because of a racist statement, but we still get to keep a president who can make these asinine comments and different things about various cultures and various people. And the fact that we have more women come in the Senate, I'm really, really happy because he just totally humiliated and just really dehumanized Senator Nancy Pelosi when he called her an MS-13 lover. Like, where do you get to say that? Any other country you say that, we want to go in and we want to take over the whole thing. But you're here in America and you're talking about a woman who sits in the House who supports the actions that you do. Or not. And so we need more Stacey. We need more Stacey's. We need more Maxine's. We need more Louise's. We need a lot of them to really get in his face and say, hey, you're not, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough of your comments, and that's enough. And if they're not going to hold you accountable, we are. So I'm excited for the change.
Amen. Amen. You covered a lot of ground there. No, that's great. That's great because we need to hear those things, you know, in light of everything that's going on, you know, and we see what's going on around our country. Nobody is blind to it. But here's the thing. Well, I want to get y'all's opinion on this, you know, since you brought it up, LT. You know, we're living in a hot box right now where we're seeing people from folks that are jack-in-the-box think they can deport people because they have what they think is the right skin color, all the way up to, you know, the ones who sit in office. Everybody feels they have the right to be able to talk to, you know, blacks any kind of way and people of Latin descent and all of these things. Why is it that you think that sitting in these seats, right, more so than just athletes and celebrities and all that, but sitting in these seats could possibly change that climate? And I know it's going to take some time. Let's hear from you, Jeffrey, real quick on that. What do you think about that? Everybody,
well,
we're going to see if we can get him. Okay.
Yeah. To address that question, it's going to take time because you're going into a regime that's been so homogeneous for so long. And now that you're interjecting new blood in, it's going to take time for that blood to go in and cycle through and to be able to get the lifeline that it needs to be able to make the changes. We had that happen with President Obama, and a lot of the stuff that happened with him, he went in and tried to put policies and stuff in place, and he was being fought on every end. And so you have to make sure that you put in not only one person, but a system of people to come in that can make a difference, because a single drop will not affect if you don't have the totality of having a complete environment set up for it to be able to become a heterogeneous environment.
Amen, amen. For everybody who's listening right now, just to tell you a little bit about Stacey Abrams and why this is so important, and I think you all get the gist of it, but Stacey Abrams became the first Black woman nominated by a major political party in America for the position of governor when she was selected by the Democratic Party in a primary on Tuesday night to fight for Georgia in the November midterm elections. And that means if the 44-year-old wins, and I hate how they put that, but, you know, hey, because I'm a little bit older. But if she wins, what it means is that she's securing the governorship from the incumbent Republican Party, right? Remember, it's a stronghold here in the South. She will secure the governorship from the incumbent Republican Party. She will make even bigger history to become America's first Black female governor. Team Abrams just won our primary election, and this victory belongs to you, a former State House leader posted to Facebook after her victory. Everyone who stood with us, this is her talking, everyone who stood with us and fought for progress in the face of doubt, everyone who believed that a little Black girl who sometimes had to go without lights or running water, who grew up to become the first woman to lead in the Georgia General Assembly, could become the first woman gubernatorial nominee from either party in Georgia's history. That's big. I think she deserves a hand clap. Can we go ahead and get a hand clap? Let's see what the crowd is saying. What do you think we're going to get from the crowd, guys? Listen with the peanut gallery, what are you saying? Peanut gallery, what say you? Amen. In either party. In either party. Wow. If the Democrats take over the governor's seat from the incumbent of the Republican Party in Georgia, that is strong. Wouldn't you say, LT? That's very strong for this good old Bible Belt down here.
And I'm from North Carolina, so you know I know about the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
We right there.
Yeah. Woo! Everybody, what we're going to do, we want you to call in and talk to us. We see some hands here. And so what we're going to do, if we can't get you on or if you can't talk, you definitely want to inbox us, okay? Or you can go onto our Facebook page at hashtag IAmMeRadio and put your thoughts and your suggestions. When we come back, we're going to bring on Mr. Leroy McKenzie, the Power of a Man moment, okay? And we'll be back in just a second on Simply IB.
I've seen the beauty of the earth with my own eyes, yet for all its worth, there is something more I was put here for. I knew at the first moment that I saw you. Oh, yes.
More. And for you to take my hand and
And we are back on Simply ID, everybody. That's one of my favorites, Mr. Charlie Wilson from the Gap Band, along with Miss beautiful Layla Hathaway, the daughter of the late, great Donny Hathaway. If any of you have been following me on Facebook the last week, I've been doing something called 10 Minutes with Inspirational Beauty. And so I've been doing 10 minutes of motivation with IB, 10 minutes of inspiration with IB, 10 minutes of relaxation with IB, and last night we did 10 minutes of worship with IB. So for some of our music, we use Layla Hathaway. I don't know if you got a chance to hear any of that, LT, but 10 minutes, I get in and I get out. Get a little bit of IB. What do you think about that? A little bit of injection of IB.
Well, you know, you're quite infectious. So if that's what you gave was a little bit, I can see how it can change. You talked about how just one little drop might not make a difference. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you know, it curbs me because before you know it, I'll be on there, everyone, and I'm there for 40 minutes and 50 minutes, and that's just really too long. What we really need to do, sometimes we just need a burst of energy or a burst of something, you know, and so I can come in, you guys can come in, and we can get out of that there and take what we need for the rest of the evening. So for those of you who showed up last night for 10 minutes of worship, we really worshiped to Kirk Franklin, girl. We had a brighter day last night, LC. So for those of you who want to continue to follow me in doing that, I'll give you information as well as what's coming up next for me and my crew. Now, I think somebody's coming up the stairway. Who is that? LC, is that Mr. Leroy McKenzie? I think Mr. Leroy McKenzie, that's the door. Let's go ahead and open up the door, everybody. G-Roy, welcome to
Come on,
IB.
Is
How
that the
doing?
Power of a man? I feel the energy.
Ooh,
it must be. It must be.
What it be, what it be, what it be, good people.
I'm telling you, what it do, what it do. Oh, my goodness, everybody, we have Mr. Leroy McKenzie being here. How you doing, sir?
Oh, you know it, you know it. I got to show up.
I got to show up. You hear LP and I talking, and Mr. Jeffrey Coleman. We've been talking about, you know, Miss Stacey Abrams and how important that is right now for this time and season. And tell us, what are your thoughts so far on this?
Oh, I think it's huge.
Yeah.
Just that fact that you said she's not just the first, you know, the first black, but just the first woman. So
yeah,
I mean
yeah,
that
yeah.
is that is just you know that is, I mean that is awesome. I mean that the that's just the mm-hmm. the what is it the not the primary but the primary. So
mm-hmm,
she gets
mm-hmm.
to go you know in November you know to get to go up against I guess whoever the Republican
mm-hmm.
Candidate
mm-hmm,
is going
mm-hmm.
to be and that's the big thing
right.
you know that's
yes
that,
it is
that's going to be when it's counting getting folks out to vote for her. And to move her
yes.
into that position because the part of the way that we're able to refute things that are going on is to be in positions of power to control legislation. And
yes, legislation.
Being a governor of a state, there's you know there's
mm-hmm.
no bigger position in a state than being the
in
governor
state.
Of that state and being able to move things forward and sitting in those positions of power is just something that we need because it gives us leverage. You know, at
yeah.
the end of the day, it gives us leverage. So.
And we need that, especially with what's going on right,
right
now. I think we understand in America since the civil rights time, everyone, how important legislation really is and why we need
mm-hmm.
it right now. I think we got a little comfortable. And don't get me wrong, I don't blame any of us for that, right? We didn't see some things coming, but now we understand you gotta stay ready. Everyone, you have to stay ready. Abrams, Republican rival for the governorship, will be either Lieutenant Governor Kasey Cagle or Secretary
mm-hmm.
of State Brian Kemp. And they're going
mm-hmm.
to be heading for a July runoff for the GOP nomination for Georgia governor. So we need to look out
mm-hmm.
for that. I don't know if you all remember this, but we did a show, you guys, last year sometime, or it might have been even before that. And, you know, Jeffrey really pointed out how many seats that we needed to fill for different, you know, for the House, for the governorship and all of these things, right? He talked about those things. And I noticed that a lot of people had started kind of following that through social media. And so I want to say hats off to everybody, because we need to really, we really need to fill those positions from the bottom all the way up. And like you said, to be someone, to be almost just a president of their own state, if you will, and being able to get those things done, like budgets, you know, where money is going to be allocated to and all of those things. She's a black woman, so I want to say this. Head Start program, give those babies their breakfast back. Can I say that, everybody? Come on. We need that. We need these things. We, you know, and you know, that studies have been done, everybody, on when children do not eat and have to go and learn. You know, and these babies have to wait all, you know, simple things like that, that our governors can step in and say, no, we're going to bring these programs back. So a black woman, you can't get no better than a black woman, because she's going to nurture the babies. Everybody.
Because here's the crazy thing about what you just said, but what you just said, Kim, about bringing the food program back. You have some kids, the only meal that they get is
they
at
have.
School.
That's right. At school. At school. It is.
At school.
It is a shame. It's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just really agreeing with you.
No, I'm just saying that. So, you know, having programs in place like that, I mean, are just very, very important. And like you said, you know, having someone that looks like us in that governor's office, trust me, you know, it can do a lot. They can look like us but not be like us. But
come on. You know,
I think in this case, yeah, someone that looks like us, but is serious about, you know, is serious about running things, and if nothing else, we know a black woman know how to budget. So,
absolutely. And then you know, you're right. You know, growing up in Gulfport, Mississippi, right, and understanding what it's like to move here and there and have five siblings, and you know, she talks about her story, you know, growing up not having lights here and there or whatever. And I know that's a lot of everyday people struggle. You know, do I feed my kids? Or do I turn on the lights for my kids? You know, what is the priority here? And so I believe that she shares that with us to let us know that those are things that are, that she wants to be able to control and to help. And like you said, just because someone is of, you know, looks like us doesn't mean they are us. And so I'm very excited about someone who knows the struggle and can and understands it firsthand. Not that everybody has to struggle. That's not what I'm saying, everyone. Everyone has their own struggle, right? Can we say that? Everybody has a struggle. But I think she can identify, especially with Georgia citizens. And so I'm very excited about that. Wow, Mr. Leroy McKenzie, let's go ahead and bring once again back in Ms. LT. Ms. LT, how important, you know, we're talking about the food program and some other programs that, you know, our Republican brothers and sisters, why am I calling them brothers and sisters? Our Republican friends.
Because they are our brothers and sisters. They are still our brothers and sisters.
They
you
are
might not like it. It's just like
sisters.
That family member you don't always want to invite over, but they come anyway. Yeah, they're still family.
Well, my cousins ain't never tried to kill me, but that's another story, y'all. Anyway, everybody. No, but why do you think, you know, with, you know, we talked about the food program, but there are so many other programs that is being cut from the budget that we need to bring back. We need to look at teacher salaries for the different states and counties and things like that. And so having a woman of color who really understands those things, it doesn't look at it as, you know, just something frivolous or something that's necessary. How does that compare to where we are right now, in your opinion, with these Republican governors?
I think it's going to be necessary, and I hope it puts us in a better position to have some compassion. I just say that because North Carolina does have a female governor. I want to say that I hope she can affect change, but I think Jeffrey said it best. Just her by herself can't do it. It's going to take time, and it has to be a collective gathering and support and rallying, and be not just behind her, but anyone. Let me clarify. Not just anyone. We should not support someone just because they're black. I stand behind that because just because you're black doesn't mean that you're still qualified for the position to affect the change that needs to happen. You know, if you vet the person and they're qualified and they can speak on behalf of us and work for your community where you are, your neighborhood, then that way you can see the changes. They have to understand what's important to you. And when we don't show what's important to us, people make assumptions about what's important. So education is going to be very key to bring back, because our kids are going to be leading us. We talk about that all the time. We see them really taking an active role now. And I want to say Leroy was the one that said, you know, Leroy, on a couple of shows back, we were talking about how making sure that the kids are not just empowered, but informed and empowered. Because it's one thing to have somebody empowered but not adequately educated or adequately informed, and now they are just as volatile as everything else. So I hope I kind of answered your question in that. And I do think she's going to be key. They're going to be key in that, because if we don't get education reform under control and making more increases for teacher salaries and things, we're going to see more states have teacher walkouts. The sad part about it is I understand why they're doing it, and I can't say I would do anything different, but the people who do suffer at the hand of them trying to get better wages for themselves are the kids, because for every day they're out of school, the kids don't get instruction. So it's a double-edged sword. It's rather, I say it all the time, you're going to pay one way or the other. It's just where you want to pay. You want to pay up front, you want to pay on the back, and if you pay on the back end, it just costs so much more.
Yeah, it does.
I hope this will bring a change.
Well, I'm with you, and you're so right, everybody. You know, I love the fact that you said, you know, we don't want to just put somebody in just because they share the same skin color. We know that doesn't work, because we've got Ben Carson up there over Hood. And the things that he's doing with the current administration is a disgrace. It really is. And, you know, this is someone we revered in terms of, I believe, which was his true gifting and purpose, being a neurosurgeon. Okay, and to be able to put him in a position that he was not qualified for, and he even said he was not qualified for, but yet he did it anyway, he is not for the people. I really don't believe that. So you're right. We need to be able to vet, and I think that, first of all, I don't want to insult our people's intelligence. I think that we collectively understand, wait a minute, the people that we put in front of us that we nominate, they are qualified, or they care about the people. And so I'm really excited about that. Another thing I'm really excited about, you guys, is the representation of new black mayors. Atlanta, which obviously is the capital of Georgia and a very prominent city, not just nationally but internationally, we have a black woman. We call her Keisha. and then when you look at the mayor of Birmingham, we have a new young black mayor there. Whitford, let me say it right, who's about, you know, in his early 30s. And we have so many other young black folks who are taking up those positions. And like you all both said, it can't be Ms. Abrams by herself. But if she has those mayors, and not just because they're black, but because they're black, right? they can be along a lot of the same types of goals. Maybe not everyone, you know, because we still need to vet these folks, but the paradigm is shifting, and so I'm very, very excited about that. Don't y'all think if we would have had some of these people in positions during the Obama administration, he would have been able to get some more things done? And he did a lot, everybody. He did a lot. What do you think about that, Leroy?
Well, I mean, I would have hoped that a lot more would have been able to have gotten done. You know, I don't know necessarily on because politics to me is local. So if we could have had somebody in these positions, I think they should have been voted in back then. Now, I don't know where these individuals came from right now, and even when the ones that are currently in there, all of these Republican governors that are there, and then you even have the mayors, it's hard, and because the system is in place. And I'll give you an example.
There is a system in place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here in Baltimore, we're 60-70% black city. And we've had the last two mayors that we've had have been black women.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when the one, don't get me started on her. don't get me started on it. But the one that came behind her, she was a little better. And then the one that's in there now, we've had the last three. And the one that's currently in there, it's a female, black female mayor. So the last three mayors that we've had here have been black women. But because of the system that's in place here Baltimore, it's very difficult for the current mayor, which I like her better than the other two. It's difficult to get things done because the system that's in place. It's just like with President Obama, he could only do so much because of the system that's in place. You know, I think we could have done a little better, and we can only hope that we could have done a little better when he was in office.
Like connect the dots. You have to have people in key positions from the top all the way down to the bottom. If we control the House as Democrats, the Obama administration would have gone a different way. So, you know, when you have the Speaker of the House that's Republican, you have they have control and things like that. They're going to veto like they did or give so much pushback. So we need those key positions. We also, with the mayors, I think it's important not just to have the mayors, because like we described in the beginning, it's the governor that their official duties include signing bills into law, okay? That's the governor, okay? So the mayor, if they're in a stronghold or in a city, you know, maybe like yours and so many others that don't have the people above them to sign the bills, to be able to be the commander in chief of their state's National Guard or militia forces and things like that, to be able to convene special sessions and legislation and all of that, then the mayor's hand is tied. Okay. So that's what I think is very important, to have your governor sit there and have the mayors under there. Once again, guys, the mayor's role is so important, because they can convene in special sessions like a president of state legislature. They can deliver a state of the state address to citizens. They can grant communications. Right. They can grant pardons to prisoners. Can we say that? They can appoint judges. So our mayors, if you're in a, you know, this Bible Belt, like let's just say Alabama, where I'm from, which to this day, Alabama is still yet to have a black mayor in its capital city. Now, ain't that something? Mm. You know, even Selma has had a black mayor, right? But that just goes to show you that if you don't have that person of color in place on the mayor in the mayoral seat, and or in that governor seat, it's not going to change. Alabama is one of those places they're trying to hold on until Robert E. Lee comes back. Okay. But if we were able to take those positions, we can appoint judges, okay? So that's why that's very important. I had a conversation. I'm going to segue really quick, and I'm going to get off that. But because of things I do outside of the platform and one of the positions I hold, Leroy, I'm able to talk to government officials and mayors of cities and things like that. And I just had a conversation with Birmingham, Alabama's mayor's office about some things, and I believe that's what it's all about. This next wave has to be legislative, and it has to be economic. Can we get an amen? Mm-hmm. I know we can get an amen on that.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Mm. So let me share this with everybody too, because Not to give everybody a history lesson, but I think it's very important we know what each the role of, you know, the governor is and what they're able to do, so we can also have the proper expectations of their office, okay? What are some of the duties of the governor? Well, the constitutional and statutory duties of the governor include signing or vetoing bills passed by the legislature, serving as commander-in-chief of the state's military forces, once again convening special sessions of the legislature for specific purposes. That's key. And so I want to stop on that right now. We'll come back to some other things, but now we know more of what our governors are able to do. Why don't we do this? Can we go ahead, since we're talking about forward movement, can we go ahead and do a power man, power moment? Am I saying that right? Power moment, power of a man.
Absolutely.
Before we go into that, tell everybody why you decided to do this particular segment tonight and what you're talking about.
Yeah, this one I kind of did because stepping up. I did it because I watched the conference finals of the NBA this weekend. They had two games for those that aren't, you know, basketball followers and everything like that.
Warriors.
Right. Absolutely. But you had two game sevens, and for those of us that are basketball fanatics, there's nothing better than a game seven. In the NBA series, because it's the ultimate game, because it's win or go home. There's no tomorrow. If you lose, there's no other trying to win another game. This is it. So we need everybody to show up. You know, everybody needs to show up. So I talked about it from that perspective and how being great, those that are great, in those moments that come up like this, that's when your greatness is made. It's made in those moments. And I just talk a little bit about both games and how those that showed up show up.
Well, let's hear it, guys. Get your pen and paper out, and when we come back, we're going to talk about it. Power moment, power of a man. Show up.
Now, look at you exactly. Walking in here looking all pretty and angry and mean and good. I know you didn't get your head down, so you could just sit down and just sit there.
Hey, we're trying to have a good time tonight. Let's go, baby.
It's your boy, Leroy McKenzie Jr., coming to you with the Power Man Power Moment on the Simply IB radio show on the IME Radio Network. Here we go. This week, we're going to be talking about, for the Power Man Power Moment, show up. That's right, show up. Let me tell you what I mean about that. This weekend, Sunday and Monday, there were two game sevens in the NBA finals, or the NBA conference finals, I should say. The NBA conference finals. And for those of you that are sports advocates and sports fanatics, y'all know the importance of game sevens. Greatness is made in game sevens. For all of you who might not know, this is where you, as the best player on the team, as the one person that is the go-to person, you are required to show up in Game 7. Game 7 is the most important game, and if you don't show up for that game, that leaves you not being one of those who people will look to and say that they are great. Championships or champions are made in game sevens. So, you had the Boston Celtics playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first game seven on Sunday. And for those of you who know basketball, know that LeBron James plays for Cleveland, Boston doesn't have a superstar for someone to be able to show up, or their superstar Kyrie Irving was injured and not playing, so he wasn't in, and he wasn't there. The game was going tooth and nail pretty much through the whole game up until the fourth quarter, and more specifically down to the last 5 minutes, in the last 6 minutes, I'm going to say the last 6 minutes of the game. And all of a sudden, LeBron James showed up. He showed you why he is considered to be one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and how folks want to consider him to be, of course, the greatest NBA player of his generation, of this particular era right now. So he showed up, 35 points, I don't know how many rebounds, and I don't know how many assists, but he showed up. Now, he got help from other players, but he showed up in game 7. And as a champion, and championship games go, he took over the game and made sure that he showed up. And that's why they are now in the NBA Finals playing against the Golden State Warriors, who were in a Game 7 against the Houston Rockets tonight. And for that game, the Golden State Warriors, for those of you who don't know this team, they have a plethora of great players. And each of those players in this Game 7 showed up. You had Kevin Durant, who had 34 points. You had Steph Curry, who I believe had 22, 23 points. You had Klay Thompson, who had 24, 23, 25 points as well. So each of those players that needed to show up showed up in Game 7. And you, as a man, as someone who will be counted on, can you be counted on when people need you? When people need you to show up, can you show up? And when you are needed, when those things that you need to come through for, you come through for, can you be counted on? Will you show up? Show up, show up, show up. That's my word for this week. Show up. It's your boy, Leroy McKenzie Jr. That's your Power of a Man Power Moment for this week on the IME Radio Network and the Simply IB Radio Show on the IME Radio Network. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Mr. Leroy McKenzie, for that power moment of showing up. You got to show up, show up, show up. Did LeBron show up, Leroy, or what? Man, that music you got showed up. I'm sitting over here grooving my groove with that music. You do some James Brown. That's my favorite James Brown song right there, the Big Payback.
Yes, yes,
the Big Payback. That's right, that's right.
You gonna make me have to go grab my CD now.
LT, get your boy. He over here breaking it down. You know, at the beginning of the show, we already had Jeffrey, who said he was doing his two-step. He was like, I'm turning. I'm going to the right now. I'm going to the right, everybody. But
I was over here with him, though, because I was like, oh, shit, the Big Payback. I was like, let me get my jam on. Then, you know, so I'm not mad at him. You know, but he just got the, like, Leroy, you just got the banging intro. He's like, girl, come on, put some perm on your attitude. And that's only so fitting for you, Leroy. Only so fitting that people say that. That song, come on. But I love this show tonight because, yeah. You know, yeah. I needed that. I personally needed that. You know, I don't. It's not just for a man. And Kim, I'm sorry, but yeah. I didn't mean to cut over. Yeah. But that's just so important because Game 7, how many times in, I know for me in my life, in the last couple of years, Game 7 has come all too often.
And I'm like, please let me just be able to show up. Let me just be able to finish strong. I might be tired, winded, and busted, but I make it. But you know, it's so crazy because we get in game 3 and 4, we think we're good, and we think we got time, and then here we are at game 7. And so I thank you for that, you know, because I'm going to be thinking about that all night long. I'm not going to get emotional, but I just thank you. That just hit the spot. So.
Oh,
wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, we gotta. Mm. We have to understand it. It is about showing up. No matter what your game 7 is, we have to dig deep, and that's what that's about. Is digging deep because I watching those two games, the superstars in the games, they. Even though LeBron James, and I'm not a LeBron James fan at all, not a big LeBron James fan at all, but those last 5-6 minutes, he was exhausted. I mean, he was tired, played a lot of minutes and everything like that, but he knew that, one, his team was counting on him, and he had to dig deep within himself to muster up that extra strength to be able to carry him, and he took the game over, and that's how we – as individuals have to do with the obstacles that we encounter. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it might get us for a minute. Might get us for a minute, but then we say, you know what? Nah, that ain't how we do.
You know, you hit so many, you know, powerful points there, and I went LT on that too. It just makes you sit back and, you know, think about your own life, how, like she said, game 7 has come around so many times, right? And, you know, what I like, you know, every now and then, you know, if you really look, God will throw LeBron in that thing for you, you know, to help you get that win. And, you know, at the last minute. And I just think it's just so important that, you know, like you said, just show up. Sometimes you win simply because you show up. You know,
exactly.
I had to learn that. I had to realize, wait a minute, why is somebody else getting this all the time? They may not necessarily have more talent. They may not have more work, you know, the same level of work ethic or whatever, but they show up. They show up every time. And we sit back and criticize, but, you know, in the words of one of my mentors back in the day, said to me one time after I was criticizing someone else, and he said, you know, Kim, you have the ability to be able to be in the top position here. But the reason why I won't promote you is because this person is here before anybody else, and they leave after everybody else. And their sacrifice, they show, of course you're more talented, of course you're this, you're that. And so that said a lot to me. We just got to show up. We got to really show up and be there and give it our all, even when we're exhausted. So thank you for that, Mr. Leroy McKenzie, the power moment. Show up. Let's see what the peanut gallery has to say about that. We're going to see what everybody has to say. What y'all think about that? All right. I think you got a thumbs up.
Can you just call it the power moment? Because I feel like as a woman, we can use that too. I mean, not to take – I know the men need to have something for themselves. But, man, we need to start calling you the electric moment or something.
Ooh, the electric moment.
Well, the electric moment is trying to get plugged in with power, with the power of a man moment.
Well, hey, you know, it's, you know, what I love about it is just like, you know, T.D. Jakes does Woman, They're Out Loose. You know, he saw a need, right, and he was able to resonate a message to women. But if y'all seen, you know, what he's been able to grow out of that, that message really is for men, too. How many men watch Woman, They're Out Loose, and they may not tell anybody, but they are listening in, so you're exactly right. It's not gender bias, everybody. Let's go ahead and share this really quickly. I want to share with everybody before we get out of here, 10 women running for office watch in 2018. We talked about Ms. Stacey Abrams because she is the first female of color, or just a female period, appointed by the Democratic Party right now for running for government. In case you all didn't know much about her, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about her because I think it's important that we know a little bit about our people, okay? And so she's a tax lawyer. Did y'all know that? A romance novelist. Did y'all know that? Isn't that awesome? I would love to have have a governor who was a romance novelist. and former minority leader in the Georgia General Assembly. Abrams has spent years registering new voters in her state. She's campaigning in 2018, as we already know, to become the first black woman elected into the U.S. Governorship. But she has a formidable primary opponent in fellow state representative Stacey Evans. The race has the potential to divide, to energize grassroots organizers who, Cole said, I may be pronouncing that incorrectly here, you guys let me know, around John Ossoff in his close race last summer. Okay, so we know Stacey Evans. Did you all know that she was a romance novelist? Let's talk about that. Wow. I didn't know.
I see how you keep circling back to that, Kim. That's funny. Never mind anything else. She's a tax lawyer. Because that, to me, in and of itself, that's what I would have been like, check, please. Great. And I love
that.
Fiction. I expect
our people to be, to have those, to be great in those areas. But I think it brings some color to who we are when we know, wow, they do some other things. What about those things surprised you about her? Was it her being a tax lawyer or romance novelist? Or what was it for you guys?
For me, it was a romance novelist. That's what I will say. I'm not surprised about the tax lawyer part.
Really not, because I would like to think that most people who get into government and politics are, somehow well versed in it in some aspect, be it the law, be it taxes, some in some area have some kind of prowess in what they're doing. So I'm not shocked about that. But the romance novelist part, I was like,
very interesting. Very, very, very good information. What about you, Mr. Leroy McKenzie?
Well,
I don't know what that means, but we're
I'm over here with my tea. Continue.
Not really sure what that means, but let's try to bring Click 32 in on that. Let me see if we can bring Click 32. Click 32. We have this beautiful black woman who, she knows herself, but hey, she's a romance novelist. Is that we should give her some kudos for that. What do you think about that, Click? Because Leroy McKenzie is, he don't know what to say right now.
I think it's a big plus, because it lets you know that she's not all business.
That's how to play
also.
Yeah.
When you look at somebody in politics, you think, oh, they are, stuffed shirt, they all about politics. But there's another side to her. You can't get more playful than a romance novelist. That can go all kinds of ways. That says a lot about her and what she brings to the table.
And I also think it says a lot about her creativity too. Because she, to be a novelist, period, you have to be, you have to have this creative mind. So, which means she doesn't put herself, I don't think she puts herself in a box, she doesn't put herself in a box, and she's able to think outside of the norm. Oh, I've got to be this way because I want to be politically correct, and I don't want folks to think of me in a certain way. She's an author. And not just an author, because I think a lot of politicians write books, but she's writing novels, so she's writing she's writing fiction.
She's not writing nonfiction.
She writing fiction. So
fiction, right?
And I think that will probably surprise a lot of people too. Wow, you've written a romance novel? You're having one of the dinners at the governor's mansion, and you're just having a small talk with the governor, and she tells
right.
you she's written a couple of romance novels. You're like, oh, really?
Right, hey,
you know,
we need that.
I was going to say, because I laughed about Donna, Donna was talking about, you know, it shows her level of creativity and the fun and all that stuff. But you know what? She's going to have a lot of material to work with if she, you know, when she wins that seat. Because they're giving her a lot of material.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes people miss that whole part. But you get to write and say things that, while you can present it as fiction, it's based on truthful characters and truthful situations.
Yeah.
And so sometimes
wow.
in order to play the game of chess, you got to position your piece just right. And sometimes you got to be in the right place at the right time. And your posture is important. So if you come in relaxed and playful, you get a lot of information because they think they're just flying under the radar, when really you are the bus spot. But that's just my little.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Putting that out there, first of all, that's a big plus. Because I'm sorry, a lot of candidates and stuff, I ain't going to tell, I do that kind of stuff. See, a lot of people frown and stuff up on that, but I think that puts her in another category for being qualified for this position.
Yeah.
Because
her
level of thinking is already above your regular candidate. Her problem solving is already on another level.
To write
a romance novel, some creativity, some thinking,
you got that some creativity
and working
right there.
And stuff. You know, so she's on a whole nother level from these other candidates, which I think makes her more qualified, not her educational background. And
that's right.
I read and looked at this sister's history. The girl is bad, but being a romance, she in a category all by herself.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I get it. That's awesome.
It is.
If I was in Georgia, my vote, I'd try to vote twice.
So they have somebody who knows how to keep the romance going, sitting up in their seat, y'all. And we need to, and Donna, you're so right. So many people will frown upon that, but I think it humanizes her. We get to see ourselves in her, and she's just putting it out there. And what I like, too, is that, you know, whenever you're the first to do anything, people try to come in and unearth something and try to say you can't pay your bills and you can't pay your student loans. Well, half of America can't pay the student loans, okay? And I love the way they handle that and just look at it for what it was. Okay, I wasn't able to pay my student loans, but I can give something to this country, okay? And that's just what it is, and I think it humanizes who she is, and we need that. We need that more in our country. What I want to leave everybody with really quickly before we get out of here is just one more woman of color, and we have so many who are doing wonderful things in politics, and really, I believe we're seeing Black women lead in all industry right now. You know, we're looking at, obviously, the CEO for ABC. Everybody was talking about that. A lot of people didn't know that it was a Black lady over there, right? Or that's another conversation. Everybody, no conversation. But we've been in a lot of positions, everybody. I'm going to mention this lady's name right, because we're going to see why Leroy is laughing, everybody, all right? All right, so Lauren Underwood is running for the U.S. House, okay? Guys, we need to look at who's in our House. We need to look at who's in our Senate. She is a woman of color. For the state of Illinois. Come on, Illinois. Illinois be on it, all right? Running for the U.S. House. She's a registered nurse. Come on, y'all. Registered nurse with a pre-existing heart condition. Let me stop there real quick.
Oh, wow.
Anybody who has a condition of themselves and comes out and said, I still want to serve the people, that's a special person. Donna, you understand what it is to be a nurse and take care of folks. I know that you're probably looking at her like, yeah, she needs to get in there, right? You got a romance novel.
Ooh,
over here,
yeah.
And you got the registered nurse. Yeah. Yeah.
The medical field, yes, Lord. Don't even get me started.
Yeah. Yeah, because they care about people. Our nurses care about people. And most doctors would tell you if it weren't for their nurses. Come on, you know. And this is a person everybody has. Yeah. This is a person with a pre-existing heart condition. Okay. And she stepped out. And a nurse. And she wants to unseat the incumbent Republican, Randy Holmgren, who voted to repeal Obamacare. We need to know who these people are. So we need to support this young lady. She's running for the seat in Illinois to get rid of their incumbent Republican. So we got these positions we need to fill. Everybody look out for Lauren Underwood, 31-year-old African-American, wears off against six white men. Come on, y'all. She's a bad girl. She's a bad girl.
Come on,
very powerful. Very powerful. Okay, so, Leroy, really quickly, what were you laughing about?
Well, two reasons I was laughing. One, the first one is if they don't know who she is, now they know who You know, if you
now
you know. And the second reason is I did this yesterday. I said, yeah, it might not be a good idea for you to insult a woman who looks like the your boss and the person
your
that writes signs their name on the front of your check. You might not want to insult them because her name is on the front. You do know her name is on the front of Roseanne Barr's check, right?
I love the direction of women, especially women of color too. And really, really all women are really moving into some very key, powerful positions. And I really think it's time. I don't think it's to say we're better than men, but I think men have been in key positions long enough, and we see that sometimes they get comfortable. And I think women, especially right now, come with a new, fresh awareness, and they want to get the job done. They just want to get the job done. And I think sometimes our men, you know, they used to running things. They've been running the country for over 200 years, okay? So now we're seeing some get up and go. We're seeing some momentum. Okay, nobody get nothing done like a black woman, all right? And I'm going to say that, you know.
And Kim, let me say something on that note. We see, the men are out front and all of that, but what they say behind? How does that saying go?
Behind every great man
and a great woman. They have the women have been there, but see, we've been
Yeah, they sure have. That's right.
It's now just time. The time is right for we more accept it, and we step into the front. And we finna sit our brothers out. Okay, yeah, baby, our daddy, you done did good. Now let mama show you how to do
That's
it.
Right.
And it's just time, right?
She did not.
It's time.
It's time. And you know,
now,
I want to give that talk to the men.
Let's see if that's going to change that behind every great woman is a good man. Let's see if that's going to change.
That's a challenge. Leroy, what do you think
about
that?
And I'm dropping the mic on that one.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think that folks really don't, you know, kind of understand. And I'm gonna give the women on the, you know, on the panel. Yeah, I think y'all already know this, but I'll say it anyway. We men, we know that we don't run things because the saying goes, "Happy wife, happy life." And if mama ain't happy, the whole house ain't happy. So
you ain't lying.
We can try. We can try to act like we running things and we the man and got our chest poked out and everything like that. And y'all have done it and said, "Go on, baby. You know you the man. You the man." And honestly,